Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey.
Built by Par Lumber. Go where the builders go.
When it comes to big or small projects around the home, Tony and Corey have the know-how and the answers to make your life just a bit easier. Here they are, the hosts of Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show, Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. Thanks for staying tuned. We're continuing our conversation on rugs.
It's funny when I hear that rejoin that we just listened to.
It
says, Tony and Corey have the know-how and the answers. Here's my take on that. Corey has the know-how. I just give out answers. The thing is to see Corey's know-how is backed up by experience, and my answers are just answers. They could be wrong or they could be right, but Corey has the know-how and Tony has the answers. That's what it should say.
There you go.
I think that's funny. Oh, and you mentioned the Facebook page earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get to see my last post on the Facebook page?
It was terrible.
What do you mean it was terrible?
It was terrible and churlish.
I thought that post was very lighthearted, and I thought it was funny.
You guys want to read a really bad joke? Go to facebook.com/WW Home Show. And look for Tony's last post.
It is very poignant and fitting for today's show about flooring. So go to the Facebook page and check out that last post. You will get a laugh out of it.
What a tease. Why don't you just go ahead and tell us what it said? I mean, how long can that take?
I'm just going to throw this out there. You know, it comes on and it gives us how many likes we have and how many unlikes. We've actually had unlikes. And after Tony's post, we had a rash of unlikes.
That is not true.
Pretty true. All right.
Okay, read it.
No. So we're gonna continue on with rugs. Because we only got a few minutes, so we got to talk about rugs. We talked about the cleaning and what it costs to clean a rug. A generalization, right?
Correct.
So what are some of the other things? You guys do also rug restoration.
Correct.
Which is also very important in a hand-woven, high-quality rug.
Yep. Have you ever heard of the term a stitch in time saves nine?
I have not.
You have not. Well, basically alludes to if you catch frayed ends or corners early, you'll save yourself a lot of money by having stabilizing or repair done to it. If you let it go too far or too long, the rug can be damaged to a point where it doesn't logically make sense to repair the rug. But we do everything from just simple side repairs to complete reweaves on rugs, where we'll take a rug that has a hole. It's very common to have a dog chew a hole in a rug. Pets are friends of Renaissance, as you can imagine.
Totally.
And so we can actually take that hole and reweave it so that you'll never be able to tell that there was a hole in the rug. And so we do all of that kind of repair. We only do in hand repairs. One important thing that people should know is, if you have a hand-woven rug and you do machine repair to it, it can damage or destroy the value of the rug. So it's very important to be mindful of that. Every once in a while, a situation will present itself where that does make sense, but be mindful that machine repairs and machine work on a hand-woven rug, not generally a good thing.
So, I mean, the more that we talk about this, the more I kind of realize that rugs are almost like fine art.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just grab paints and touch up a painting
mm-hmm.
because you know it'll just ruin it.
Yes.
You take it to a professional restoration company. They do cleaning. They do restoration work. And that's kind of what you're saying you do. You do hand, you fix them.
Yeah.
That actually brings up an interesting question for me, Corey. I'm thinking to myself, if you liken it to a piece of fine art, are there people out there, Randy, who collect expensive rugs like they collect art?
Oh, absolutely. And there are people out there that spend thousands of dollars on a rug or more. We go back to Navajos. There was a record auction set for $1.5 million for a mid-19th century Navajo wearing blanket.
Wow.
So, you know, literally when we say the price for a rug can be all across the board, that is very true. And rugs can be art. They can be decorative items. They can be utilitarian items. When you get into older rugs, antique rugs, they're considered art. In some cases, they're ethnographic or cultural art pieces from people that don't weave things anymore. Some of these the tribal groups and tribal rugs that were made 100 or 150 years ago, they're not made anymore. The tribes don't exist as they did back then. Some of these some of these groups just simply don't exist anymore. There's a group called the Hamsay. It's a confederation of tribes. And that group came together in the mid-19th century, and it was disbanded in 1957. Consequently, the Hamsays don't exist anymore. They do not weave rugs anymore.
So to get one,
you got to buy an old one.
And it's rare.
They're somewhat rare, yeah.
You mentioned earlier that buying a rug is an investment. I think what Corey was saying when he said it's an investment means that, in his opinion, you will eventually get your money out of it through use of that rug. But what you're referring to now is a different kind of investment. And so my question to you is this. If somebody invests in a expensive rug because they want to collect it, right, or they want to display it but not use it conventionally like a rug, can you expect a rug like that to appreciate and to gain value over the years, let's say over the course of 20 years?
Yeah, well, with certain things, absolutely, and that has been the history in the past. I do caution people from buying rugs for investment purposes because you really never know. In some cases, it's kind of like the stock market. One year or in one decade, a certain type of rug can increase in value, and then the next decade, it can deflate in value. In the 1970s, Persian silk rugs, antique Persian silk rugs, became very popular and collectible, particularly with Chinese or Japanese investors. And it drove the price of some of these rugs for 4x6 antique silk rugs to $30,000, $40,000. And then that market crashed in the 80s, where those $30,000 and $40,000 rugs were subsequently worth $8,000 to $10,000.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
that's like the housing market, huh?
Yeah, well, it's another bubble, and that happens. So I always caution people, first and foremost, buy rugs, whether they're for your floor or you want to collect them, buy them because you like them, and let everything else fall into place.
Not necessarily an investment.
Yeah.
Here's one more question for you. Do you think that it would be a prudent business move for Corey and I to take some hand knotting classes and make some weekend warrior rugs? You think we could make a lot of money there?
I think it's gold.
You think it's gold?
Larry's going to put his money into it.
Is it ambitious? You're ambitious.
No, but if you want to do something like that, what I would do is contact one of the many dealers that do custom rugs, and they can make you rugs.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
To have a custom rug, a one-of-a-kind, a one-off, if you will.
A one-off, kind of like you, Tony.
A one-off, kind of like me. Let me take us out. We're going to be back shortly after we take this quick break. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your weekend warriors. Stay tuned.
Listening to Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey, built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. Thanks for staying tuned during the break.
Somehow I feel the need for cowbell.
You have a fever?
I have a fever, and the only cure is more cowbell.
Thanks, Tony. All right, we actually have a new guest on the air with us right now. We've got John Paul with Paulson's Floor Coverings.
Yes.
How are you, John Paul?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you. How are you doing?
We're doing great. We've been talking about rugs all morning, and it's crazy how little I knew about the world of rugs.
There's a lot to know. It's a difficult world.
Yeah, and our guest in here is Randy with Renaissance Rugs and Oriental Rug Cleaning, and that's all he does, and he's very versed.
That's good. That's good. That's good. Tony wants to stick to cowbells, which is probably good for him.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Cowbells, very lively, right? You've got these rugs. You spend a whole bunch of money on rugs, and they just lie around all day. I mean, is there anything lazier, right?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. There was worth one chuckle in there.
Womp, womp, womp.
I'm smiling.
And they don't even make any kind of clanging sound at all. So, yeah.
Goodness gracious.
That was terrible. I'm sorry.
All right. So since we've been talking about rugs all day, we thought it would be a good idea to talk to John Paul at Paulson's Floor Covering. You're kind of an expert in hardwood flooring.
Yes.
So what – I guess my first question, since we still have Randy in here, what is the kind of the best hardwood floor to put down if you – are a collector of rugs, or if you even want to put rugs down over a hardwood floor, does it really matter?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't really matter at all. You can put area rugs over absolutely any hardwood floor, any and all, and people do. So it has absolutely no bearing whatsoever on what type of hardwood floor you can put them down, and then you can cover them up with area rugs. Yeah.
So
I don't know.
When buying hardwood floors, I know during the break, Randy actually posed a question to me, or he wanted to make a point, because part of the problem sometimes that he's run into is that people will get brand new raw hardwood floors put down. They'll get them sealed, and then they'll put the rug down too soon.
Yes.
So is there a time frame, or is it all dependent on the products that you're using?
Well, it depends a little bit on what kind of finish that they use. They have different finishes that cure faster than others. But really, when you've got that new floor down, everyone wants to rush to put all their furniture back in place and lay their rugs down, and then the finish doesn't cure properly underneath it, and you're really supposed to give it a minimum of at least a week. And, I mean, ideally, if you could give it a full month to cure, that would be great, but that very rarely happens.
So a good, maybe a month, I think would be out of sorts for a lot of people.
For everybody.
Yeah, I mean,
hold off as long as you can before you put these rugs down, which is not a problem when you go to a pre-finished floor, which is one of the reasons a lot of people have been switching from the stand-on site floors to going to pre-finished.
Okay, that was actually my next question. What are the biggest advantages to buying pre-finished? I mean, is it obviously, you said it's pre-finished. I guess that's the biggest advantage.
Yeah, so the biggest advantage is the finish gets put on at the factory. And when they put it on in the factory, they can make a much stronger finish that you will not wear through. And then when we go to install your job, the job can be installed typically in a day. And the minute that the floor gets put down, you can walk on it. And you can put your rugs down on top of it. You can move your furniture back in. So whereas with sand-in-place floors, when you go in, the downside to those floors is there's a lot of dust that's created. You are typically out of your house for a week to 2 weeks. Once you've got to install the floor, you got to sand it down, and you got to put down multiple coats of finish. And you can't be in the house walking on it while that happens. And then, of course, trying to put your area rugs back down, it doesn't work as well. So that's one of the advantages of going with the pre-finished floors. It just gets put in quickly, and you can get your house put back together and get it done.
Is there a large cost difference?
There's a huge range in everything, but typically once you get everything installed, there's not a huge difference. You end up paying more for the installation for a floor that you have to sand on site, but you'll pay more for the product when you're buying a pre-finished floor, assuming you're buying a decent grade.
Well, I think people forget a lot of times that finish, the good finishes cost $50-$60 a gallon.
That's true.
It's not an inexpensive option to finish a floor. I've done it myself. I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
It's a major pain. Yeah. And one of the, you know, I guess I equate to, I have this analogy that I use for anything pre-finished, right? You don't go to the auto store and buy a car, take it home and paint it yourself.
Right.
You buy it with a coat of paint on it because it's they can do it in a factory.
Right.
They can do it without the dust. They can and bake it on, so it's a hard, clear coat finish.
Yeah.
So why is everything else that way?
Yeah, so there are downsides to having a pre-finished floor, which they have actually been working on improving. And one of the biggest downsides is the reason they make the way they make the finish so hard is that they bake aluminum oxide into it in the factory, and they can put more layers on it. But the problem is that when aluminum oxide gets scratched, it shatters and turns white. So now you've got your beautiful pre-finished floor, and it scratches, and you get these little white scratch marks on it that have been a problem for some people, and that's why they like sticking with the more traditional stand-in-place floors.
So is it why? I guess that's a question for me, is why would the finishes be different? Is that just because it's a different process with the bake on?
Yeah, they could make the finish the same. The big advantage, the pre-finished floors, they're going to come with these big, long warranties. All floors, all pre-finished floors that are coming out. You know, it's 25 years, it's 50 years, 55 years, whatever for the warranty. And the only thing that warranty really covers is that you won't be able to walk through the finish. So they're trying to make these finishes that they say you can't walk through, and you don't have to refinish. You don't have to have someone come out in 5 years and re-sand and finish your floor.
Right, but if you drag a table across it with a screw sticking out of the bottom, you're toast.
Exactly. So they make a really tough finish, but the downside to that tough finish is that you get these shattered white marks that come up on your floors. And so they've been working on trying to come up with new different products that they've used in it. And there's ceramic coated finishes, and there's oil based finishes, and there's countless finishes.
Okay, I've got a question.
Yeah,
you've got a laminate floor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And haphazardly you drop a coffee cup, and it hits that hardwood floor and dings it, or takes a little of the, you know, the top layer and leaves you with a white mark or some weird thing. How big of a deal is it to replace one piece? And how often are styles of laminate floor, how often are they discontinued? And I mean, is it, when somebody's talking to you about buying a laminate hardwood floor, do you say, well, you know, I don't know if this color is going to be around for another year, or
mm-hmm.
or it's really difficult to, what's your opinion about that type of thing?
Well, it's almost impossible for us to know how long a certain floor will be around. We don't know when the manufacturer is going to discontinue carrying a certain product. There are certain product lines that we might bring into stock, or someone else might bring into stock from out of the country. And then in those cases, you know, hey, once this product is gone and sold, it's done. You can't get any more of it.
Okay, so
we always recommend people get a couple extra boxes to store.
That's a good point. I'm going to ask you another question about that when we come. Are you going to hang around here for a minute?
Absolutely.
Okay, when we come back, I got another good question for the Paulson guy. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your Weekend Warriors. Stay tuned.